Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
To me, and I know they're going to redo it and they're going to produce it. I wonder if they change that up, I think people will be really upset, because that was the epitome of what you wanted a studio show to be, because you had two superstars and a world champion. Kenny Smith was still a heck of a player, not a superstar, but they balanced each other out. And like, they weren't afraid to look across the table and Shaq go, "I'll come over there and beat you up, you know, like kick your butt." And then
I have no concerns. I think ESPN is going to be so hypersensitive to anything, because like that show is in the category of don't touch it. If they put their finger on the pulse, I think they're going to be afraid of the backlash of that more than if. I mean, like, look at it. The only thing they've really ever done with McAfee was when Rodgers basically said Kimmel's on the Epstein list. They basically said, "Hey, we don't really want to pay to have Rodgers on anymore." That's it.
Yeah, I get that, and that's totally fair. I mean, like, Aaron's a different cat. Congratulations, Steelers. Good luck with that. But once upon a time, we thought that about NFL Live. Remember, like the ESPN show at one point, we were like, "This is phenomenal television." We had, you know, Chris Berman, Tom Jackson, we had that crew, we had Chris Mortensen, when you brought everybody in, and then all of a sudden it started changing and then people left and people went anywhere. That was the one thing about Inside the NBA on that Thursday group. Yeah, they brought Shaq in. It used to just be Kenny and Charles and Ernie, and then they brought Shaq in because Shaq's entertaining and also he's Shaq. So you get into these guys coming in, and I thought they worked well together. As Matt Damon said in Rounders, they picked it up like Clyde Monroe and Walt Frazier with the Knicks back in the day, just weaving in and out of, you know, defenses like a poetry in motion type situation. So it'll be fun. I think it'll be interesting to watch. I think the moving forward, the way all sports are covered are going to be interesting. Are we going to get away from three-man booths altogether because the money's so high to get the rights? How can you afford three people in the booth unless you're really on the advertising?
Uh-huh.
So you're going to see, I think, I don't know how many Tom Brady-type deals you're ever going to see again. You know, just because the money, like, you're not going to see that as much in the NBA. Yeah, you want the big name. Like the day, I don't want to say LeBron because we know he's not going to do television. Let's say whoever you think is a top tier interview, Steph Curry. Steph Curry is a phenomenal interview. I don't think Steph Curry is going to see any value in working on
sadly,
television.
We're going to get shoved Draymond down our throat more.
You think?
I mean, TNT won't ever back. TNT won't back off of it. Every time that his season's over, they keep putting him up there.
Well, they put Pat Beverly up there, too, and he hadn't been around for a while either, so it's interesting. So we'll see.
All right, my man.
What do you got tonight?
I don't know, because Indiana feels so public, but at the same time, like...
I just don't see how the Thunder lose games.
That's the problem. And it's now, like, do you really want to
talk about the other aspect of that side of the world that I cannot discuss?
Right. It's like, do I really want to lay 10?
That'd be like laying a bunt down when you have a really good hitter up as a manager.
Yeah. And the shift's not on.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's like that's.
I think you back away. Now, I will say, you could tell last night, I'll bet, in a lot of watering holes, who had the Panthers money line and who had Edmonton money line.
That's why I took the over. I was happy either way.
Yeah, it was a fun game though. If that Stanley Cup series is going to be like that, man, what a great time we're in, right? We get the anticipation of training camps coming up, anticipation of baseball draft, NBA draft, NBA finals, Stanley Cup finals, baseball's heating up.
US Open next week at a real golf course.
Yeah, like, do people get together at, like, watering holes and watch the U.S. Open on Thursday, Friday? Because if so, let me know.
If this is going to be – if we can have a return to my U.S. Open where you just say, hey, you spoiled pansies, like, this course is hard. Go get them. Like, I'm in. And I think Oakmont could be
that. One of the reasons I didn't love it, and then I heard your explanation, I go, I get it. But, I want to watch those guys shoot 10 under – because I couldn't do it if you let me just putt.
Yeah.
Like, just be on the green and regulation.
It's the one time a year where we used to test them mentally.
Yeah. I don't love watching the Open Championship, as they say, because half the time it looks like it's miserable outside, mm-hmm. and the course looks like it's
brown.
The course looks like it's a farm area that they just threw a golf course on.
It kind of is. Like, it literally
is. But then they say, all right, cool. Well, this is like the place where they found a golf. I'm like, cool. Couldn't they afford some like fertilizer and make the grass green?
No, actually, at that time, they probably couldn't.
No, the greenskeepers are too busy in the local pub.
Correct.
Hitting the Jameson and the pint.
All the good stuff.
Yeah, all the fun stuff. Yes, good time of year, brother.
All right, my man.
I'll talk to you next week, probably flying back from Indy.
That is Eric Hasseltine. When we come back, as Eric mentioned, we got a new home for Aaron Rodgers. Also, we got a list of the cringiest fan bases in college sports. Want to talk about that with Cobb. We've also got a date for the Liberty Bowl. We'll discuss all that when we come back right here on the list. On Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Jason Smith coming up next segment. Before we talk to him, let's get into the list. The AutoZone Liberty Bowl. I had to mute myself on my computer. Apologies. Cobb, we got a date for the Liberty Bowl. It will be Friday, January the 2nd at 4:30 p.m. It'll be a part of a triple header of bowl games on January 2nd. We will start with the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl at, I should say, 3:30 Central our time, at noon Central. Then we have the Liberty Bowl at 3:30, and we wrap it up with the Duke's Mayo Bowl in Charlotte. And this will be the final official day of quote unquote bowl season. I don't know. When you think about the Liberty Bowl, like, what's the date that you have in mind of, like, that's the Liberty Bowl?
Just sometime around, but not on, like, New Year's Day.
Yeah. I always thought of New Year's Eve. But I think
January the 2nd is a great spot, though. So it's a Friday afternoon. So it's like it's not really end of the week because it's kind of like a holiday week. But it's also standalone, too. You're not going up against any other game. And also, you'd much rather precede the Mayo Bowl than be the bowl game that comes after the Mayo Bowl after we've just seen somebody get Mayo dumped on them. So, you know, like, I think this is a fantastic spot. Friday afternoon, I mean, before the Mayo Bowl, it's a good spot.
All right, one of my all-time favorite things to do is to go through the bowl game list and see if anyone knows what this is. What bowl game is Staff DNA sponsoring?
Where is it?
The Cure Bowl. How many different names is the Cure Bowl? I feel like the Cure Bowl every single year has a new title sponsor.
What is the Cure Bowl anyway?
Like, it's like the fifth one in Orlando.
The cure, like, are they trying to cure a disease?
Yeah,
like,
I think it's curing cancer. It's like, I can't remember if it's a specific type of cancer, but it is tied into cancer research.
Okay, well, in that case, it's a phenomenal cause, and I'm all for it.
I think this one's now kind of solidifying. 68 Ventures.
Oh, that's Mobile.
Yeah, it is.
Uh-huh. Now, did you see this one, Jeffrey? The Bahamas Bowl for the second time
in
the last 3 years will not be in the Bahamas.
I think my favorite part is it's not only is the Bahamas Bowl not going to be played in the Bahamas, it's the second time in 3 years that has not been played in the Bahamas.
Did, what does it say on the official bowl season list? Does it just say, like, location to be determined or something?
All right. I was about to ask, because we talked about this the other day, and we did not know where they were moving it to.
So it got moved to Charlotte the last time because it's another one of the bowl games that's owned by ESPN, and ESPN's college, ESPNU, like all the college broadcast facilities are out of Charlotte, so I think they just wanted home game. Isn't that one always early?
It typically is. I don't see it on the official 25-26 bowl season schedule. So maybe they're still working that one out. I personally would vote for Cuba. I would really love to see college football.
All right, so we got a note. We have a note at the bottom. While the Bahamas Bowl will not be played during the 25-26 bowl season, league commitments will be fulfilled through other ESPN-owned and operated games, date, time, and location TBD. So it appears we will not actually play the Bahamas Bowl this year.
So the ESPN is basically going to completely decide who's going to play in an unnamed bowl game at an unnamed location?
The way I took it, the Bahamas Bowl is what, the MAC and CUSA?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
ESPNU Mid-Major Bowl?
There we go. I mean, it'll always be the Popeyes Bahama Bowl to me.
Now it's not anything.
It's CUSA MAC. So the way that I took it is, they're going to teams that would have been eligible for the Bahamas Bowl, they're going to place them in other bowl games.
Okay.
Didn't we put in a rule this year where we're not allowing, like, you can't be the 5-7 team with good grades anymore?
Well, goodness, I mean, there's 136 teams this season in FBS, and now we have one fewer bowl game now that we're saying goodbye to the Bahamas Bowl. So, I mean, surely we're not going to have to dip down into the 5-7s to fill out this bowl roster. I mean,
well, how many of those extra ones coming up now are eligible yet? Like, that's a good point.
You got the probationary period for some of the teams in transition.
James Madison was one of those a year
JMU
ago.
Now, I think, will be eligible. Does Kennesaw, have they served their 2 years?
I think last year was their first year, if I remember correctly.
Sam Houston's got to be eligible now, right?
I would think.
I think so.
I think Jacksonville State's eligible.
Jacksonville State should be, right? Because that last year was year two or three of Rich Rod.
I know they made a bowl game, but I thought that was because, like, they got picked. We also have, I think, no fewer than the 50th different title sponsor of the Detroit bowl game. Game Above Sports. Actually, they might have taken over last year. I bet on that game.
It'll always be the GMAC Bowl to me.
No, it's the Ford Motor City Bowl. The GMAC Bowl's Mobile.
Was it?
GMAC, okay. The GMAC Bowl was always Mobile, but it was originally the Ford Motor City Bowl, then I want to say maybe just GM took over with the Motor City Bowl. Then it was the Little Caesars Bowl for a while. Then we had the Ford Quick Lane, because, like, that Ford was trying to promote their service department, so they did Quick Lane there for a while. It actually looks like a lot of the sponsors are kind of the same ones. I don't remember if this was the New Mexico Bowl is Isleta, New Mexico Bowl. That one feels new.
Oh, it's a casino in New Mexico.
Is that the one where Nota Begay's been, like, hosting the big youth tournament?
Let's see.
There's like a Nota has a big junior golf tournament that he's been playing that he's actually gotten Golf Channel to broadcast.
Yeah, I don't know if it's there, but Isleta is a New Mexico casino. So it makes sense. You know, they're sponsoring the New Mexico Bowl. And then, hey, how about this? Not too far down the road in El Paso, CBS still hanging on.
The one game,
the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl, not broadcast by the ESPN family.
Family of networks. Does Fox has the Holiday Bowl, right?
Wait. I was thinking ESPN or had everyone except for the Sun Bowl, but you might be.
I think Fox has the Holiday Bowl.
Ah, yeah, you're right. Okay.
I don't know for how long though.
So that's and then I mean, if you count it, the Senior Bowl, I don't count that.
No.
So I used to always publish. Shahan did it today for us, but I used to be the author on the on whenever this list of bowl games would come out, it would be the. You know, a pretty well-read article every year because people want to see what time, what day the bowl games are going to be, whatever. So somebody, like a lot of people actually got mad at me one year because I didn't have the Celebration Bowl on there, which is basically like, it's like the HBCU national title game.
Yeah, I mean,
and like, no matter how many times I tried to explain, like, we're just, this is just like the FBS, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
This is just the highest level of Division I bowl games that we list here. They're like, no. It's called a bowl. It's the Celebration Bowl. Why don't you have it on your list of bowl games? And it's like, well, sometimes you just can't win, you know?
No, you can't win. But also, did I see now where they're going? Because it used to be, you know, it's the SWAC champion versus the MEAC champion, I think.
Right, right.
But if they went to the Celebration Bowl because the payout was significant.
Why wouldn't you want to go to the FCS playoff?
Because the pay was the money.
But, like, you actually have a chance to play for a title. Like, Deion's teams, they had Shador and Travis Hunter, man. You're telling me they couldn't have gone and played for, like, competed for an FCS title?
I mean, I'm telling you, it's always been because of money. I mean, why does Jackson State, like, Jason's point, like, when you looked at the schools that Memphis was compared to with the strength of schedule last year, it was, like, Memphis and a bunch of SWAC schools because...
I mean, I get it. Like, historically speaking, yeah, you're probably not going to compete at the highest level in the FCS, so you're better off... just going to the Celebration Bowl than like paying to fly to Montana to get your butt kicked by, you know, the Montana Grizzlies. But like when they had Deion and they had Shador and they had Travis Hunter,
I think there's no way they wouldn't have been
competitive in the FCS playoffs.
I think the payout is so extreme that they take it. I'm also flagging, I thought last year bowl season had like a quiet resurgence, whereas it was really trending down for bowl season for quite a while. But now that we've found maybe what this new sweet spot is, which is, yeah, all the guys that have played this season, they're going to opt out. But when it became like basically the young guys auditioning for some more NIL money, it actually like resulted in some pretty good games.
There were some really good games, no doubt. I was worried about like the demise of bowl season amid the expansion of the college football playoff. But honestly, thought the games were pretty good this past season and pretty entertaining, and it also depends on like who ends up in the bowl.
Yeah, for
too,
sure.
Because if it's a bunch of teams that are disappointed to be there, that really thought they had a chance to make the playoff or whatever, then it, you know, it's kind of a dud. But when you get like your Dukes and teams of that ilk who are like, yeah, heck yeah, you know, we had a good year, let's go show out in the bowl game or whatever. Like, you know, that
they did not last year.
Not last year.
Pretty good outcomes.
Yeah, Ole Miss, I think, just scored again in that game. But then also, I think some of these schools, like, they've kind of wised up. The collective is writing into the contracts, like, if we're in a bowl game, you're going to play. Like honestly, I mean, the Miami-Iowa State Pop-Tart Bowl, like, Cam only played a half, but, like, that was a great game.
Yeah, no, and, like, if he'd played the second half.
Yeah, I think Miami. You know. I think Miami.
Honestly, though, the fact that like that never came up during the draft, like at least not in the media, kind of wild, right? I never heard that used as a talking point against him.
The only time I saw it used as a talking point was in that super weird scripted trash talking video that everyone tried to sell to us as authentic between Shador and Cam. Like Shador, like it was clearly like a scripted thing to bring up. Like that one was. Yeah, that was all-time cringe. The Georgia Bulldogs. All right, Cobb, the Action Network has determined a methodology of ranking the most cringe fan bases. The methodology was to uncover the most cringe-inducing college sports programs in the country. The team at the Action Network analyzed social media posts across X, formerly known as Twitter, and Reddit using Brand Watched. We tracked mentions of Division I NCAA programs over the past 12 months and measured the volume of posts that included terms like cringe, cringeworthy, cringy, and secondhand embarrassment in the same breath as the name. This allowed us to identify which programs consistently had fans and or haters talking for all the wrong reasons. The number one team, according to the Action Network's research, the Georgia Bulldogs. I'll be honest, I'm not as like online as like I used to be during the games, but Georgia would not have come up first for me.
Last season, it would have had to have been Alabama. I've always been so fascinated, and Alabama's third on this list. I think Alabama might be number one on this list next year if they don't have a national title type of season in football, because I've sort of long held this theory that we had yet to see Alabama be anything other than perennially great in the social media era.
Yep.
And now in the post-Saban world, in the social media era, how are Alabama fans going to handle not being, you know, one of the two, three, four best teams every year in college football? And the fact that they're number three on this list from last season kind of shows you that they're not handling it very well. And I think they could be a pretty clear choice to top this list next season.
Honestly, though, I kind of thought free space would be A&M. A&M didn't even crack the top 25 of teams measured. But, like, I guess when I think about it, A&M's not really all that online.
Yeah, they're kind of not, like, they're weird and stuff, but they're also, like, nice.
If you replace the word cringe with cult, they would have been on there for sure.
Yeah, I also, though, I think kind of every fan base is a cult.
Yeah, but also
A&M
don't, like,
particularly
join
so,
up.
And they're all probably on Billy Lucci's message board. Like,
I will go to the grave. The most shocked I have ever been covering a game was A&M when they were redoing the stadium. The visiting, like, locker room, media room was right under the student section. I've never covered or gone to a college football game that kicked off at like 7 p.m. and you walk in front of the student section and smell something so sober in my entire life.
Yeah. That's got to be jarring. It's got to be jarring.
Like, I'm just used to, like, you walk down, you're like, oh my God, that smells like a liquor bottle.
Yeah, it smells like the floor of a bar,
yes,
at 2:30
exactly.
a.m.
Yes, exactly. Yes, this smells like, yes, like a college bar before they've just taken Clorox to it. Ohio State 2, Bama 3, Kentucky 4, Tennessee 5, Michigan 6, Penn State 7, Indiana 8, Notre Dame 9, Iowa 10, LSU came in at 18, Missouri at 21, and I felt like Missouri was all just any video clip of Drinkwitz.
Right.
Like, I feel like that's like most of it.
Honestly, big win for Tennessee, Jeffrey, that they were fifth on this list of cringiest college fan bases. And Kentucky was actually ranked higher on the list than Tennessee, which tells me that basketball was pretty heavily weighted.
I think that's more than a lot of these teams, you think basketball. But also, you know what it got me thinking about? Man, pour one out for one of, like, the most volatile, toxic places on the internet that's just gone away, and maybe they've just been beaten into submission. Rest in peace, FSU Twitter. Like, that's like internet 1.0, like, hellscapes, FSU Twitter. But, man, it's just like it's not even relevant anymore.
It's like it broke their spirit. Like, last season, going 1-11, they're just like, you know what? We're just deleting our accounts.
Yeah.
Like, it was that bad.
Yeah. I mean, Kinnell's still fighting the fight, but, like, you know, I need Kinnell. I will go to the grave. I want Kinnell in the space. I think you need somebody to mix it up. I think you need somebody like Danny in the action. Aaron Rodgers. Well, turns out we will have to wait no more. Four-time MVP quarterback Aaron Rodgers will indeed sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers, sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter, ending months of uncertainty around his future and uniting the future Hall of Famer with a team that desperately needs a quarterback. The news comes more than 80 days since the start of free agency and 70 days after Rodgers visited the Steelers. Sources told Schefter that Rodgers plans to fly to Pittsburgh on Friday and join the Steelers ahead of next week's mandatory minicamp. So George and I were talking about this earlier in the week. I just felt like the Steelers had kind of tipped their hand. Like, if you were going to literally wait this long, you had to have some type of realistic indication that we're getting him, because I would have, they just were not going to go into a season with Mason Rodgers being the number one option.
Well, I mean, yeah. So it was Mason Rudolph, and then they drafted Will Howard. So, I mean, yeah. Come on, you gotta have something else there. So, no, I mean, now we know who's going to be throwing the rock to former Memphis Tigers star Calvin Austin.
Well, and DK's now a Steeler.
Yeah, I mean, there's this team. I mean, I don't know how you feel, but like, I feel like this team could be competitive.
George, I feel like the Steelers' offensive line got really old really fast.
It didn't just get really old really fast. A fair few of them also retired, kind of in the middle of that whole thing. Their O-line's pretty suspect.
This is not a great, like, if you're going to have Rodgers, George can attest, like,
not even arguably, but like genuinely right now worse than the Jets O-line.
Like, he cannot move.
He is,
and he looks like Brady. Statue. He looks like Brady did at the end where, like, as soon as he gets the snap, if he sees a lineman get beat, he just goes down because he doesn't want to get hit.
Yeah, well, which is fair, honestly. You got a 41-year-old quarterback. Like, what do you want him to do?
No, I mean, like, that's just the thing. It's like,
retire. Sorry.
I mean, I guess that's the Steelers are banking on, hey, we'll play good enough defense, and he's going to make enough throws. And I don't know. This just, like, reeks of desperation.
Well, yeah, I mean, it does.
You're more desperate than the Jets.
I mean, but look, think about it, man. Like, Tom Brady played the position until he was, what, 45?
46, I mean, but I think we can also say this. I think Brady treated his body as a temple in a different way than Rodgers has.
Well, yeah, but he'll go to literally the ends of the earth to find
chemical
solutions.
That's a fair point. That is a more than fair point. All right, let's find out what Jason Smith thinks about this, former Bears fan, or I should say current Bears fan, former enemy of Aaron Rodgers. Let's talk about that and more with Jason when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead. Try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Jason Smith is the co-host of the Jason and John Show weekdays right here on 92.9 FM ESPN from 11 until 2. You can follow him on Twitter on X at JasonSmith929. Jason, if you were the Pittsburgh Steelers, would you have committed to 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers?
At this time, I don't know that they had
you know, many better options. Kirk Cousins, perhaps, but then there's how you would have had to, you know, whatever you're going to pay him with this deal he's got with Atlanta.
Yeah, because the Falcons are not going to cut him for the sake of wanting someone to trade for him. So there's that aspect. And then plus, like, hey, he's coming off an Achilles too.
Exactly. And so, and Aaron, for as much as all of us have wanted, and me included, because I'm lifetime Aaron hater, he threw for almost 3,900 yards last year at 17 starts. I know we've kind of thrown him in the garbage can, and maybe that's where he should be and where he should stay, but he actually had a decent year. He's had lower years even in terms of completion percentage. I think it was around 63%. Not good, no, but not just as if he can't throw the ball anymore. Here's the issue. It's what you guys said. He can't move.
Yeah.
Not even halfway to the point that he's not even close to what he used to be in terms of moving. And Pittsburgh was right there. Bears were the worst. But in terms of sacks allowed last year and pressure rate allowed, they were among the bottom teams in the league. I think bottom five in terms of sacks per game. Maybe it's bottom six. But they're bad. And have they really addressed that enough for the guy that you're bringing in? The surprise of it to me is that you're sort of signing a deal with the NFL's version of the devil here, and if you're Mike Tomlin, because we've said it. I mean, the standard is dropped, and unfortunately, he has not. You know, whether it's you want to blame him, the front office, whatever else, they have not gotten this quarterback situation licked since Roethlisberger's been out the door. Now, you can argue Pickett didn't get enough of a shot. They didn't protect him. He didn't have weapons, whatever. I mean, I'd argue he's probably just not a very good quarterback either. But the point was the plan didn't look very good. Mike Tomlin's been backed into a point now where fans are tired of it, all the speeches, the standard, because the standard's dropped. He's got to get a good quarterback in there if he's going to prolong this thing. We've already asked the question, and we were asking it this offseason, has his voice kind of worn out in that locker room? And so the fact that he has done this, been willing to go along with Aaron's schedule, remember this, the Jets were willing to take Aaron back so long as he, and we'll say maybe the list was too much, but they wanted him to conform. You're not going on McAfee, you're not doing this. He said no. Mike Tomlin said, you know what, you can come in here whenever you want to. You can still do your thing. We're going to be cool with that. And you just wonder, okay, well, is this Tomlin sort of, you know, backed into a corner maybe, needing that good quarterback play finally after years of not having it to try to get himself back into contention? Is this him with sort of his final shot, you know, his final play, his final roll of the dice? And you wonder if it's going to come off and, you know, in terms of a playoff appearance. I mean, that's what they're banking on. And I do think, you know, you put him in there with Pickens. I mean, excuse me, with Pickens out, with Metcalf. Cobb mentioned it, Calvin Austin. You got to get a second receiver in there. I think Calvin's better as the three as opposed to trying. But you've got Freiermuth, who had 7 touchdowns last year. You know, here's the issue. You know, you've been sort of run first. That's what you've been built to be. But that offensive line has broken down. And it's not doing that anymore. I think they brought in Gainwell from Philly. So there's another Memphis guy there. There's another Memphis connection. But there's probably enough there to, yes, with that veteran defense, to be a playoff team, but it doesn't put you back in contention. That's a long answer to tell you. You know, you're going to play this Aaron Rodgers game. He may look good for stints. But let me tell you what, week 12, when he's got to come into Chicago, he's going to be lucky if he survives that, because he's mistreated us. His arrogance. I'm hoping that the Chicago Bears will finally have their last shot, perhaps.
Make it count.
At Aaron Rodgers and giving him what we owe him. Remember, this is a dude that's walked around Soldier Field talking about, I own you, to the fans, man. That's the kind of arrogance that he's treated us with. I mean, we just broke a streak that he started in terms of straight wins. What was it, 10, 11? 11 games, whatever it was, that he started. His ownership of us is unprecedented.
I believe that the Packers have still not beaten the Bears in 2025, correct?
They have not.
Yeah.
They have not. And we're going to hold on to that. And so, anyway, yes, man, week 12, I'm looking to put him down right there. And that's gonna be a sad day for Mike Tomlin when the Bears give him what we owe him. I can't wait. As an NFL fan and Bears fan, I can't wait till week 12. I can't wait till we see. He had already, like you said, he had already tipped his hand. He had told these folks, oh, there's a team that's going to be on the road in Chicago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, buddy. See, he doesn't know what we got in store for him.
All right, I wanted to ask you this because sticking with football, but going to Tiger football, because I think this is interesting. So when you look at SP Plus, FPI that's come out, basically Memphis is somewhere around the third G5 team, and really the only team in league that they've been behind is Tulane. But it doesn't it feel like there's the it's a weird situation where I think the actual quality of the job would suggest this should still be one of the top two teams in the league. But weirdly, it's like, I guess with Seth leaving, there's just, it doesn't feel like the expectation matches. And I guess the question that I have for you is, should it now be in a position where you look at the rest of the league that regardless of you're replacing your quarterback or not, you still should be in the mix every single year and that should still be the expectation?
Yes. And I think even more, you should be what Tulane seems to have graduated to, which is getting the benefit of the doubt every year. No matter if they're on to their new coach, some raw, first, second year, whatever it is, they get that if a new quarterback, because they've been in that business of late, having to replace their quarterback each year. They get the benefit of the doubt. Memphis should be right along those same lines because of level of investment. And ahead of, to me, I love what Horvath did at Navy. I love the athlete they've got, that kid. I mean, that kid's a stud. But it should be to a point where you're ahead of those two schools on a regular basis. And Lord knows you got Jeff Traylor down at UTSA saying that his likes shouldn't be beating Memphis's. What did he say? He's got 1/6 of that.
Was it like 1/30th? I thought he like even went more extreme. Yeah.
Whatever it was, six times, whatever it was. But point being, they look to you as the top. Trent Dilfer has done the same thing. Said we've got chicken scratch at UAB, and while he might be exaggerating, I mean, hell, it seems like he's got more than what Traylor's got. Point being, they all look at you as that, as sort of the same thing as Tulane, and the numbers bear that out. You know, the aspirations, when we've listened to Ed Scott, you know, coming in, they haven't changed. The expectation is to win the conference year after year, and yes, Jeffrey, through quarterback change, you should be able to do that. Now, you're dealing with a head coach that couldn't get to a conference title game with maybe the one of those special situations in G5. Maybe we'll never see it again. Maybe college football overall, just in terms of the loyalty you had and Seth, the fact that this guy might end up on an NFL roster and you couldn't get him to a conference title game, it's an indictment of the coach. But back to the point of your question, yeah, you've got to get it done. You were picked number one last year with Seth in that final year and should have been. You essentially finished fourth, tied for third, I think with Navy, but they beat you. And so in the end, yes, you should be expected because of the majority of that $5 million, as we've been told from Fred Smith for the next 4 years, is coming in for you, for football. You have the pressure on you because you've got a building now controlled by the U of M that's getting renovations that, again, will benefit the U of M in terms of revenue in a way that, you know, the FedEx Forum can't for that Memphis basketball program. So pressure is on, and it's all on Ryan Silverfield that, yes, the expectation should be, I'm with you, Jeffrey, that it seems like by the time we get these coaches' votes and do the preseason poll, probably feel like Memphis is going to be picked third or fourth. We've looked at some of the odds. That's what they suggest. But I told John, and I think he's right there with me, and I'm betting you are too, it should be conference title game or bust every year for Memphis, particularly at this point that they are in their with where they're right now, the investment level, And the opportunity that you have each year as the Group of Five champion, the AAC champion perhaps in that spot, you've got that spot in the college football playoff and what that could represent for your brand. Huge. So you got to go out and seize it. Yes.
All right, Jason, we got the NBA Finals tipping off tonight. Indiana, Oklahoma City. Now, what are your thoughts on the series? One, are you excited for it? You know, it seems like the national buzz around this series is a little muted. Personally, I'm excited for it. I think it could be a fun series. Where are you at on that, and kind of how do you see it playing out?
Pretty much. I mean, the Pacers have opened my eyes in a way that I didn't expect them to have them opened by, you know, the Pacers this season. This run has what, you know, Rick Carlisle, how good, you know, we've had to. If we didn't know and have him high on our list already of great coaches in the NBA, then this run is obviously, I mean, he got Tibbs fired. He coached circles around Thibodeau, who had delivered New York back-to-back 50-plus win seasons for the first time since Pat Riley. And because Carlisle was so, and I will say, I mean, he was, you know, he backed Tibbs into a corner. Matt Tibbs makes those adjustments late because it was so obvious you know, they're forced to move on, but it just reminds you how good a coach he is. And you've got Pascal Siakam, who, unlike these kids, unlike Halliburton and the rest of these guys, has actually been here before. So I'd like to tell myself, Cobb, that, you know, we're going to have a better series than most, or the odds have suggested we're going to have, or that most of these experts, I think 29 of 32, picked OKC, and most of them had it in five or six games. I'm picking, you know, this to be over, you know, in six, OKC to finish them off. But I'm you know, cautiously, you know, hopeful that we'll have a more competitive series than most are thinking, because again, Halliburton has, you know, you look at this team, it doesn't turn the ball over. That's where Minnesota and others that have fallen victim to OKC, its number one defensive, that's where you've killed yourself. You know, they don't do that. But the difference, it feels like, is that defensively, Indiana, I think they're ninth of the 16 playoff teams or so. I mean, OKC is not that. They are the most dominant thing on both sides for the most part. They're top three offense and defense. So finding that weakness, Carlisle pointed back to him to sort of to bring it all the way back there. You know, he was able to expose that Brunson-Cat combo defensively, how Indiana could exploit it on the offensive end, those two together. And Tibbs was late in reacting, plus he had played his guy. So point being, I don't know if OKC's got a weakness. You know, there is no throwing Neesmith at Nimhard like they did with Brunson at SGA and saying, we'll just cut the head off the sink off, because SGA is just fine with getting, you know, 12, 13 assists and letting Chet and Jalen do the work. So what I'm most, I guess, intrigued by, Cobb, is whether or not Carlisle can find that weakness, because I'm not sure there is one. Yeah, they're young, but this team looks like they're all about the business, and they don't seem, you know, kind of like the Knicks seem to be after they beat the Celtics. This OKC team doesn't seem to be just happy to be here. Their business seems to be it's title or bust, and that's what it feels like it's going to be.
Yeah, you're right in the sense of, like, I'm not betting it, whatnot, but it's like my expectation is Oklahoma City's going to win this in five. I hope I'm wrong.
Probably so.
The problem is, like, when I think about it from a basketball perspective, it's like all the cases that you can make for Indiana. Okay, well, they play with tremendous pace and they take care of the basketball. Yep. Well, Oklahoma City's very capable of playing with pace, and they take care of the basketball even
both
better.
Things.
And it's like, well, Indiana's got depth. Well, the depth of Oklahoma City is like one of the stories of the entire playoff run.
100%.
And like Cobb's the first person that made me at least like have a basketball question of who is the best point guard that they've seen in the playoffs. And I think the reality is it's like, well, it was Ja, but it was for like 2.5 games. And sure. I do think in this, like, game one was what it was. But in the second half, I felt like Ja really did kind of start to settle down and figure out how to go to work. And then the first half of game three, Ja was about as electric as he's ever been. And so, like, I guess maybe that is like the one thing. It's like if you're Indiana and you can hang around in enough games, even though the sample size is small, Oklahoma City has not exactly been like razor sharp closing out games.
No, that's a great point, and I remember what it was, Chet missing the free throws against Denver.
Game one of Denver series.
Game one for them there. Indiana has won every game one of this series. I will say this, though. They've won every game one on the road, I think, through these whole playoffs. The one thing about the Pacers is, and Drew Hill's continued to nail this home, and it's one thing that he said weeks ago that I've continued to watch, and he's so right. Like, because of what OKC, the physical nature of their defense, we can say that, and it's true. So, I mean, you can look at the analytics. The Pacers are take care of the ball, and did during the regular season and have during the playoffs. But what OKC does to you and the way it feels like during the games, it certainly will for the opposing team, that the officials are allowing them to get away with it. They nearly – Dorton, those guys, it feels like they're fouling you on every time down the floor. Oh, by the way, SGA is getting to the line every other time. So it's almost driving you crazy mentally.
I totally agree.
Frustrated. Anthony Edwards is watching the same thing. And so how Indiana deals with that, because the Knicks are not able to put that sort of defensive pressure on you. Frankly, I don't think anything they've seen. Cleveland, same way. I mean, Garland was broken up. This is a sort of pressure that doesn't just break you down physically,
but more so too mentally, especially when SGA is getting his calls on the other end and you're feeling like you're not getting a fair whistle. So how they deal with that and whether they can keep, you know, taking care of the ball through that, Halliburton can take this beating that's probably coming for him. That's where I think this thing folds up, Jeffrey. We probably get closer to OKC doing this in five like you're envisioning.
Well, like to your point, even if they're like, you know, even if they have the mindset of they can't call everything, I think the other advantage they have, and this would be my argument for the depth, like if Oklahoma City gets a couple of guys in foul trouble, like they're fine. Like they, hey man, we feel comfortable with like 10 guys and they all get six fouls. Like to me, like that's kind of the other aspect of it. It's like, I don't even necessarily know if it's, oh, well, they can't call everything. To me, it's almost like they just have the unique luxury that nobody else has, which is, we really do believe we can go 10 deep.
No, they do. I mean, whether it's, I mean, and they can. I mean, if, even if it's just the bodies of Joe and Kaysen and those guys on down, that's after, again, they can throw the Dorts and everybody else at you. And so, no, there's too many bodies. And that's your point. You're, whether it's frustration or not, or just the bodies coming at you, at some point you fold. And that is what they have proven. Again, the one opportunity felt like there was there was that fourth quarter in game four, where the Denver Nuggets are up eight, and they've got an opportunity to go up 3-1. OKC comes back, walks them down, wins that one, and I think that was the opportunity where you could have put in, okay, this is a championship team, or can we get over the hump? Felt like there was maybe a moment of doubt there early in that series for OKC. When you didn't put them down there, I think this became destiny. That, you know, start of a Golden State-type, San Antonio-type, you know, dynasty that, yeah, maybe could have been snuffed out and they got to push it to next year. But I think we're about to see the first of probably multiple over the next few years for them.
Jason, we really appreciate it, my man.
Y'all take care.
That is Jason Smith of the Jason and John Show weekdays right here on 92.9 FM ESPN from 11 until 2. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, Cobb. For today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, I think I'm just going with a combined Danny Hurley and Rick Pitino when they announced that they are turning down the New York Knicks job without ever having getting offered the New York Knicks job.
Right. Dan Hurley said, not another summer of this. And meanwhile, it's like, well, yeah, but what if they offered you, Dan? What if they did?
Do you... You can actually talk me into Hurley because he kind of got backed into it. Does anyone on the planet believe that if the Knicks made a competitive offer to Rick Pitino that he's not taking it?
They'd be out of their minds to do it, but if they did it,
right,
he would do it.
Right. But like, does any one of us like really believe that Rick is that entrenched?
Well, by the way, before we hop off here, I want to go ahead and remove myself from the running to be the next play-by-play guy for Monday Night Football. I just want to go ahead and say I'm not going
to
do that.
I want to be very clear here. If the Knicks want to pay me to be their head coach, I will do whatever they want. I will be the front office patsy. I'll do whatever.
Well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and withdraw my name, though.
Okay, you're going to withdraw from consideration.
I think I'm happy where I'm at. Okay. I'm going to withdraw my name from that.
That's very big of you. All right, my man. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, man.
That is David Cobb, of course, of CBS Sports. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. I want to thank Eric Haston and Jason Smith for joining the program as well. For George, for Cobb, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.